أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البدحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى. وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين، وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى، وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لساخت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: الذين آمنوا أشد حبا لله. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: إن الله تعالى إذا أحب عبدا أمر جبرائيل ويقول: إني أحببته فلان، إني أحببت فلانا فأحبوه، فأحبه أهل السماء، ثم يلقي محبته إلى الماء، فما شربه بر ولا فاجر إلا أحبه. صلوات. This is one of the most interesting hadiths of the Holy Prophet, although every hadith is equally interesting. We were talking since the last two nights about the athar, some of the athar and signs of iman and faith of a person. The athar and signs are certainly a lot, but in these three nights we can focus on three athar and signs only. And the third athar and sign which we would like to talk about tonight is istidad for the liqa'ullah. Anybody who is a mu'min, who has concrete, unshakable faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will always love death and liqa'ullah, meeting with Allah, and will have the isti'dad, will have the readiness to embrace the death and embrace Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So anyone in the society who is not ready to embrace his death, he must understand that there is something lacking in his iman and faith. Because this is one of the athar and signs of iman. If we have the unshakable iman, and the reason why I am intentionally using the word unshakable, because that's precisely what the definition of iman is in the Isna Ashari 12-er Imami belief system, which we all believe in. Like my teacher was saying, that iman is actually defined as ja'lul mu'taqad fil amn, putting your belief in a secure place. No matter what happens on this planet, no matter what sort of situations, troubles, calamities, tests, problems you face in your everyday life, whether you get sick, whether your son dies, whether you lose your job, whether anything happens to you or your family, as far as your iman and faith is concerned and your belief system is concerned, nothing is going to happen to that. Nothing is going to harm that. Your iman will continue to remain unharmed and safe and secure and protected. If that is the case, then you are called a mu'min. Because the definition of iman is ja'lul mu'taqad fil amn, putting your belief in a secure place. So our mu'taqadat, our aqaid, our beliefs, our fundamentals of the religion, our roots of the religion, all of those are unshakable because they are founded on concrete evidences, logical or narrated, and those evidences remain no matter what the situation in the world is. It's nothing to do with the evidences. The stability of the evidences remains unharmed. So we find that one of the signs of our unshakable belief is that we will love our death. And just like we were talking last night with those youth who were present here, that it's our obligation to fight against the cultural additives that we, the generally speaking, the followers of Islam, have been adding certain cultural additives in different Islamic countries or non-Islamic countries, wherever we are living. We have been adding certain cultural additives into our religion. And this has been repelling the people, backfiring us in some cases, and harming the spread of Islam in a lot of cases, in lots of instances. And it's our responsibility to take out the cultural additives from Islam that we have added in the name of religion, which those of the cultural additives have nothing to do with the religion Islam that the Holy Prophet has promoted. So one of the cultural additives that specifically in our culture, in the subcontinent, in Pakistan and India, we find this very bad cultural additive found in our communities, is that whenever you talk about death, there are some people who stop you, don't talk about your death. As if it's something bad, as if it's something condemned, as if you are doing something wrong. This is a cultural additive of our society, and we need to combat, we need to battle this wrong cultural additive of the subcontinent. In Islam, when we turn to the situation of Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, they were, every now and then, they were talking about death. Not just their own death, but the concept of death itself, as a general concept as well. And sometimes about their own deaths. And so talking about death, remembering your death in Islam is deeply, it's a great sawab and reward for any believer. If you remember your death, if you talk about your death, if you have zikr of maut, itself is sawab. Because the Prophet has said, أَكْسِرُوا هَادِمَ اللَّزَّاتِ, often mention the destroyer of pleasures. Look at the beauty of the Prophet's hadith. He's talking about death as, quote unquote, destroyer of the pleasures. Often remember the destroyer of the pleasures. Prophet is saying, often remember. Remember it a lot. And our culture says, don't talk about death. And we condemn this culture. We need to get rid of these cultures. And we need to deculturalize our centers. If you want to really attract the people towards the Islam of Quran and Islam of Ahlul Bayt, we need deculturalization of our centers so that we practice and present Islam in its purest form, the way it is, the way it was practiced by the Ahlul Bayt. So, what I was saying is that one of the signs of iman and faith is A mu'min always remembers his death, and he's prepared to embrace his death. He loves liqa'ullah, meeting with Allah, how the death is commonly referred to in our Islamic literature. Maut is liqa'ullah, meeting with Allah. And a mu'min has isti'dad, has the preparedness for death at all times. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let's suppose for a moment, had informed us about the time of death for each and every person, it's very likely that there would be people who would do what they wish to do till the final moments and till the 11th hour, maybe 11 hour and 59 minutes, and they would do whatever they wish to do and just tend to do the tawbah in the final moment. This is not accepted to be a tawbah in Islam anyway, but that's the nature of human beings. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wisdom says not to inform us about the death. And we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this great blessing of God and his wisdom that he did not inform us about our death time. And that facilitates all the people to get ready and be prepared all the times, and that is the only solution to be successfully departing this world with sa'adat, with being sa'id and sa'adat mand and spiritually successful. Otherwise, if you are not always ready, you would never be ready. And the tawbah in the final moments is not accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's what somebody came and asked Imam Ridha alayhi salam, why? When Fir'aun was drowning in the river Nile and about to die, he did the tawbah. Why wasn't the tawbah of Pharaoh accepted? And Imam Ridha alayhi salam replied, لِأَنَّهُ آمَنَ عِنْدَ رُؤْيَةِ الْبَأْسِ, because he had his iman at the time of witnessing death. When he saw the death, then he said, well, I am a mu'min and I do the tawbah. Well, imanu inda ru'yatil ba's, inda ru'yatil ba's ghayru maqbool. And if you become a mu'min after witnessing your death, this kind of iman is unacceptable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we understand in the light of this and several other ahadith on the subject that if a person wants to do tawbah and he is serious about his spirituality, he needs to do tawbah before the curtains are removed finally, and before you start seeing the angel of death who belongs to that world of tajarrud. So when the curtains are already removed and you are now seeing the angel of death coming towards you, that means you have already stepped out of the alamul mulk, the material world. Now you have already stepped into Alamul Barzakh, which is Alamul Barzakh, is the middle stage between, Barzakh in Arabic means something which is in between two stages. So between Alamul Mulk and between Alamul Tajarrud, this is the middle stage, which is Alamul Malakut. We have Alamul Mulk, which is the material world, right now where we are living in this dunya. And then we have Alamut Tajarrud, the metaphysical world, which is on the Day of Judgment. And in between the material and non-material metaphysical world, there is a central stage of existence, which is called Alamul Malakut, or Alamul Barzakh, or Alamul Mithal, or Alamut Tajarrud al-Barzakhi. We have several names for the same stage of life in different knowledges of Islam. So when you step into the stage that you now start seeing the angel of death, according to Islamic belief system and Islamic philosophy, you have already departed this world. You are in the world yet, but you have already, Islam says, in the light of the teachings of Islam, we understand you have already departed, because now the curtains have been removed, the tawbah is unacceptable, you start seeing some of the realities of that world which you were not able to see because you could not remove none of the curtains of sins that were on your eyes back then in the life of dunya. And now that you see the realities, every is not a big deal to become a mu'min at that time, because every single kafir is a mu'min at the time of death. If that was the case, then the tawbah would have been accepted at the time of death, then there is no kafir on the whole planet. Because every single kafir at the time of death becomes a mu'min. Why? Because he sees the realities. It's no longer alamul ghaib. It's no longer ghaib, an unseeable world for him. The ghaib gets converted into shuhud. The unseeable gets converted to a seeable thing for him.
When we see the reality with our eyes, we can never deny, and nobody denies.
So that's the reason. Lam, we find that yawma la yanfa'u nafsan imanuha lam takun amanat min qabl aw kasabat fi imanaha khayra. So we find that if you are not mu'min back then in the life of dunya, so on the day of judgment, your iman is not going to benefit you at all, because on the day of judgment, everybody is a mu'min. You may ask this question, well, on the day of judgment, everybody is mu'min, but right now we were talking about at the time of death. Well, the time of death, when we are transferring from the material world, alamul mulk, into the barzakh stage, which is alamul malakut, we find that in the hadith of Imam Salih alayhi salam, he says that إِذَا مَاتَ ابْنُ آدَمْ قَامَتْ قِيَامَتُهُ. When a son of Adam dies, his qiyamat, his day of judgment has arrived. So death is the stage number one, and mawqif number one, and station number one, and stop number one among the 50 mawaqif, mawaqiful qiyama, 50 stations and 50 stops that the day of judgment has. Which is another very beautiful subject. If sometime we can talk about the mawaqif of Qiyamah, the 50 stations and 50 stops that the Day of Judgment has, and it has been elaborately told in the ahadith of Prophet and Ahlul Bayt about those questions which will be asked from the people on those 50 stations, and the first of those 50 is death.
So death,
with death we actually enter into the Day of Judgment. For us, the Day of Judgment has started. Yes, we are not resurrected, it's true, but we are into the Day of Judgment. So now, we find in this hadith of the Holy Prophet which I recited, look at this beautiful hadith where Prophet has said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى إِذَا أَحَبَّ عَبْدًا أَمَرَ جِبْرَئِيلَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He loves a servant, He orders Jibreel, وَيَقُولُ, and says, إِنِّي أَحْبَبْتُ فُلَانًا, I love such and such person. فَأَحِبُّهُ, so you guys also love him. فَأَحَبَّهُ أَهْلُ السَّمَاءِ, so all the dwellers of the heaven end up loving him. Again, like I said in the first speech of mine, that the angels belong to Alamut Takween. We have Alamut Takween, the world of existences, and we have Alamut Tashree, the world of the legislature. We, the humans and the jinns, belong to Alamut Tashree, the world of legislature and world of Sharia, the world of do's and do-nots. We are put to test, whereas everything else is not put to test. So they belong to Alamut Takween. So we find that Alamut Takween, like I said in my first night speech, Alamut Takween has zero disobedience towards Allah. So you look at the hadith that as soon as Allah commands Jibreel, Inni ahbabtu fulanan fa ahibbuhu, I love such and such guy, so you guys love him. Fa ahabbahu ahlus sama. As soon as Allah commands, that's it. All the angels end up loving him. Everybody who is in the heavens, as soon as they get to receive the command, that's it. They end up loving the person. There is no disobedience in that world. ثُمَّ يُلْقِي مَحَبَّتَهُ إِلَى الْمَاءِ, then Allah drops His love into water. فَمَا شَرِبَهُ بَرٌ وَلَا فَاجِرٌ, there isn't a good doer or a bad doer who drinks from the water. إِلَّا أَحَبَّهُ, except he will end up loving him. This is such a beautiful arrangement of Allah. And our Urafa say that no one can have the asrar al-rububiyyah, the divine secrets, unless he is a beloved of Allah. You have to be a beloved of Allah to have access to the divine secrets. It's not a simple job to have access to the divine secrets. There are lots of secrets around which we are failed to understand and realize. And in order to have access to the divine secrets, we need to be a beloved servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, and in order to be a beloved servant of Allah, we need to listen to what Allah has said. وَإِذَا سَمِعُوا مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ تَرَى أَعْيُنَهُمْ تَفِيضُ مِنَ الدَّمْعِ. إِذَا سَمِعُوا مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ. When they listen to what has been revealed on the messenger, you would see their eyes dropping tears. That's the sign. That's a sign of a mu'min person. If a mu'min person listens to the wahi and revelation, you find tears coming out of his eyes, because his sima'ul qalb is intact. We believe in two kinds of listening powers. One listening power belongs to the body, we call it sima'ul badan. And one listening power belongs to our soul, which is called sima'ul qalb. Just like we believe in two visions, one vision belongs to our badan, which is related to the physical eyeballs, and we see some of the material things through our eyeballs. And we have a vision that is related to the qalb and soul, and just like we have a listening power of the soul. So we find some people may be not blind with their physical eyes. They have their physical eyes there, their vision is 20/20, they can see the things around them, but in the dictionary of the Holy Quran they are blind. Some people may be able to listen to all those decibels of voices with the human ear is able to listen, but in the dictionary of Holy Quran he is deaf. وَلَقَدْ ذَرَعْنَا. Look at what the Holy Quran says. وَلَقَدْ ذَرَعْنَا لِجَهَنَّمَ كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنسِ. وَلَقَدْ ذَرَعْنَا لِجَهَنَّمَ. We created for the sake of Jahannam. Lots of humans and jinns were created for the sake of Jahannam. It's not that Allah wants for them to go to the hell, but they don't heed to the warnings of Allah. They don't pay attention to none of the ayat and signs of God. They will certainly end up into Jahannam. That's the ghayat. That's the end result of their efforts in this world. Not that Allah is asking them to go to the hell. Allah never asked anybody to go to hell. Allah is asking the humans to go to heaven. But people themselves are doing actions and believing in beliefs that are bound to take them to hell. وَلَقَدْ ذَرَعْنَا لِجَهَنَّمَا. Certainly we have created lots of humans and jinns, in other words, for the hell. Lahum kulubun. What are the signs of those humans and jinns who are created for the hellfire? Signs are clearly mentioned in the Holy Quran. Anybody who wants to judge, he can judge. Right now you find some people in different communities, generally speaking, they say, well, you're not supposed to judge the people. Well, are you Allah? Don't try to do the job of God. Let Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala judge the people. This is what we have learned. These are the cultural additives again that we have received from some of the non-Islamic religions. And these cultural additives have arrived and penetrated into Islam from some of the non-Islamic cultures. In Islam, we totally disagree with this phenomena, because you have to judge. Because you cannot turn your blind eye to all the teachings that Allah has already told in the Holy Quran. What do you want me to do? Shall I become a kafir and disbeliever in some information which is already told in the Holy Quran? And shall I become one of those who say, don't judge none among Ali ibn Abi Talib and Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, because Ali is also radiallahu anhu, Muawiyah is also radiallahu anhu. Both are the companions of the Holy Prophet. Leave it on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to judge. You want us to become one of those who say that? We are proud to be the Shias of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. And we believe that we need to recognize what is haq, and we need to recognize what is batil, and we will end up recognizing who are ahlul haq, those who belong to haq, and we will end up recognizing who are ahlul batil, those who belong to batil. And that's how, after distinguishing haq and batil, and ahlul haq and ahlul batil, those who belong to haq and those who belong to batil, we will then associate ourselves and follow and support those who follow haq, and disassociate ourselves and denounce and condemn those who follow the falsehood and batil. So look at what some people said to Amir al-Mu'mineen, and these are not new complaints or objections. Humans are the same human beings. We are no different from our fellow humans of the earlier generations, and we are no different from our fellow humans who are going to arrive after our death. We are the same human beings. So when the Battle of Jamal, the Battle of the Camel happened with Imam Ali alayhi salam and Ashabul Jamal, those who waged the war against Imam Ali alayhi salam, Ummul Mumineen Aisha, leader of the Ashabul Jamal, and Talha and Zubair, two very famous companions of the Holy Prophet. And somebody came to Imam Ali alayhi salam and said, how can it be that you, Ali ibn Abi Talib, you only person are on haq and truthfulness and righteousness, and all these people, these great personalities, look at the personality of Ummul Mumineen Aisha, the wife of the Holy Prophet, and look at the greatness of two great famous companions of Rasulullah, Talha and Zubair. How can it be that all of them are on batil and falsehood, and you are the only person who are on haq? Look at the behavior, look at the takes of the people, look at how some people are so simple-minded. And look at the response of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. The response he gave was the response about which the famous Egyptian writer Taha Yasin had mentioned, that this response of Imam Ali alayhi salam is the highest level of eloquence, highest level of eloquent Arabic ever witnessed after the end of the revelation. That means after the revelation of the Holy Quran ended, there is no more verse coming on the Holy Prophet. After the end of the arrival of revelation upon the Holy Prophet, you do not find in the Arabic language any statement which is higher in its balagat and fasahat and eloquence than, higher than fasahat and balagat and eloquence than this sentence of Amir al-Mumineen alayhi salam. And Imam Ali alayhi salam said, innaka lamalbusun alayk, you are misguided, you are in a confusion. You could not understand the truth. You couldn't understand the reality. And he said, إِنَّ الْحَقَّ وَالْبَاطِلِ لَا يُعْرَفَانِ بِأَقْدَارِ الرِّجَالِ. Haq and batil, truthfulness and falsehood, are not known and recognized. They are not recognized through the personalities of the people. This is not the way you're going to judge the what is righteousness and what is batil and falsehood, just looking at the personality. This guy is a big shark, so whatever he would say has to be haq. No! This is not the way you are going. Islam asks you to judge the righteousness and haq. Forget about the personality, his highness or lowliness, doesn't matter. You have to recognize Imam Ali Islam, what he said is that, إِنَّ الْحَقَّ وَالْبَاطِلِ لَا يُعْرَفَانَ بِأَقْدَارِ الرِّجَالِ اِعْرِفِ الْحَقِّ تَعْرِفْ أَهْلَهُ. Recognize the haq and truthfulness itself. Recognize the haq. You will end up recognizing the ahlul haq, those who belong to haq. وَعَرِفِ الْبَاطِلِ. وَعَرِفِ الْبَاطِلِ. Recognize the falsehood, and you will end up knowing who are ahlul batil, who are the ones who belong to batil. That's the way. It's the other way around. You cannot just look at the personalities first and then determine what is right and what is wrong. You have to first determine what is right in the eyes of Allah and what is wrong in the eyes of Allah. Then you will end up knowing who belongs to Haq and who belongs to Batil. But that's the way the humans are so simple-minded that they have been giving the hardest times to the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, some of the humans. So we find that Quran has said we have created, in other words, lots of humans and jinns for the sake of the hell. And we find that لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا. They have souls. They have souls with which they have hearts with which they don't comprehend. وَلَهُمْ أَعْيُنٌ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ بِهَا. They have eyes with which they don't see. وَلَهُمْ آذَانٌ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا. They have ears with which they don't listen. Well, lots of human beings don't have ears with which they don't listen and eyes with which they don't see and souls with which they don't comprehend. We don't find lots of humans like this. We find otherwise. We find overwhelming majority of the human beings on the planet are able to see and able to listen. Isn't that right? And able to comprehend. Overwhelming majority is not insane, is not crazy. They can comprehend. So what actually the Holy Quran is talking about? These people, despite the fact that they are talking and despite the fact they are listening, because they are not listening to what they were supposed to listen, they are listening to everything else. Because they are seeing what they are not seeing, what they were supposed to see. All the ayat and signs of Allah, they are ignoring all those ayat and signs. So as if they are not seeing in the dictionary of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if you don't see what you are supposed to see, and you see everything else, you are a blind person in the dictionary of Quran. If you don't listen to those voices and those warnings which you are supposed to listen and pay attention to, then you are a deaf person in the eyes of Quran, even though you may be listening to every other voice. So this is the sign of kuffar. And those people who are basically, they have nothing to do with Allah and His teachings. So we, alhamdulillah, realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided these teachings which make us prepared for death. When the time of death arrives, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the time of death for a mu'min who believes in Allah, the time of his death arrives, Allah sends angels to announce to that mu'min, أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَبْشُرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ. Don't be afraid and don't be sorrowful, don't be mahzoon. وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ, and give him the glad tidings and good news and basharat of the paradise. Again, a mu'min may not be able to listen to this voice coming from the angels of Allah upon his command because he has those hijabat and curtains of sins. But that's exactly the whole scenario which happens, that when the time of death arrives, the angels come on Allah's behalf and make this announcement to the mu'min. And when he dies, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands the angels to rub your hand on the orphan. If the guy has one or several orphan children, Allah commands the angels to rub your hand over the head of the orphans. It is so much mustahab and recommended, extremely recommended in Islam, that you rub your hands over the heads of orphan children. From every single hair that passes under the rubbing of your hand, Allah gives you a palace in the paradise in view of every single hair, Prophet said. But then it requires us to benefit from these easy rewards, which lots of people are not accessing this easily available reward. Pay a visit to the houses of orphans, if you can, and as much as you can. It makes us realize and it makes us remember our death. We have no guarantee that our children may not end up becoming orphans. Nobody carries any guarantee from Allah about his death. Isn't that right? And if we take care of the orphans of others, Allah will certainly take care of the orphans of ours. That's the way it goes. That's the way it always goes. So when in the story of Prophet Musa and Hazrat Khidr alayhi salam, Allah commanded two of his prophets to straighten the wall of those orphan children, and the wall was above. In old days they used to construct very, mud and clay walls which used to fall down easily. So that wall was about to fall down, and Prophet Khidr commanded Prophet Musa to help him reconstruct this wall, so because there was a treasure buried under the wall. In those days they used to have safes or banks. They used to bury the treasures inside the soil and under the walls. So Prophet Khidr commanded Prophet Musa to help him reconstruct this wall, so that the treasure which was exposed because the wall is damaged, let us reconstruct the wall so that the treasure again remains safe until those two orphan children for whom the treasure belongs grow older and they are able to benefit from the treasure buried for them. And why is this behavior taking place? Kana abuhuma salihan. Quran has informed us their father, the father of those two orphans, was a salih person. And my teacher Ayatullah Jawadi hafizahullah was saying in his tafsir that it was not their real father who was salih. This was the 70th ancestor of these two orphan children who was a salih person. Even if your ancestor, even if your 70th ancestor is a salih person, and I explained the meaning of salih in the afternoon majlis for those of you who were present, what does the word salih means in Arabic in the real sense of the word, being sifatun mushabbaha, and I will not repeat that. So, even if your 70th ancestor is salih, Allah is not going to lose your children. Allah will take care of your orphans. So we need to remember Allah. If we remember Allah, Allah will remember us. Ana jaliso man zakarani. Look at what Allah says. Man ham nashine kisi hastam ke be yaad man bashad. That's how we say it in Farsi. Main har us shakhs ka ham nashin hu jo meri yaad mein ho. I am a companion of everyone who remembers me. Just like we sit with our friends and peers and spend time and hang around with them. So Allah will be our companion if we remember Allah, if we have zikr. Zikr means remembrance. Allah ki yaad mein hona, be yaad khudawand budan. For those of you who speak Persian, so ana jaliso man zakarani. And a guy was passing away from this world, and he had all of his relatives standing around, his father, his mother, his wife, his kids, everybody was there around him in the final moments. Everybody was crying. He asked his dad, "Dad, why are you crying?" And his dad said, "Well, my son, I had lots of hopes from you. I raised you. You're going to grow older and will be a help for me in my elderly age. But now that you are dying, who's going to help me?" Then he turned to his mom, "Mom, why are you crying? You're talking about death, isn't that right?" This guy turned to his mom and said, "Mom, why are you crying?" And she said, "Well, my son, I'm crying because you are my son. You are leaving me. I had lots of expectations from you. You know, I'm getting older. I need somebody to take care of me." Then he turned to his wife, "Why are you crying?" And she replied, "Well, you are my husband. You are my sustenance provider. You provide for the family. How can I raise all those orphans after you?" And he turned to his kids, "Why are you crying?" And they replied, "Well, father, you are passing away. Who are going to take care? You supervise over us. Who is going to oversee us? When he heard all those responses from those relatives surrounding him, he replied, So you all are actually crying for your own interests. Isn't that right? None of you care about what is going to happen to me in a few moments after I die. Look at the selfish behavior. Some of the humans have a selfish behavior because they have selfish understandings of Islamic concepts. They fail to understand the concept of maut and istidad of maut, which we are talking about, that every one of the asar and sign of our iman and being a mu'min is that you are prepared for death 24/7. If you are prepared, you would not behave like this. If you are prepared, you would behave like what Abu Zar did when he came next to his son. When his son was about to die, Abu Zar belongs to the 9th level of iman. He's not an ordinary person. And Imam Ali alayhi salam is the narrator of this hadith. Imam Ali alayhi salam narrated this hadith that I heard the Holy Prophet. I heard Rasulullah saying that ma azallatil khadra wala aqallatil ghabra ala dhi lahjatin asdaq min Abi Dhar. Imam Ali alayhi salam himself is narrating this hadith of Rasulullah, that I heard the Messenger of Allah saying that the sky did not put its shadow and the earth did not bear the burden of a human more truth-telling than Abu Dhar. This is Imam Ali said that I heard from the Holy Prophet saying that. So we are not talking about an ordinary, just Tom, Dick and Harry out there on the street. We are talking about Abu Dhar, with all his highness and greatness, the most truth-telling person on the planet. So when he comes to his son, next to his son who is about to die, Abu Zar was crying. And he said to his son, "Son, I'm not crying because you are dying and you are leaving me alone. Not because of that. Everybody's going to die from this world. Not a big deal. He is prepared for that all the times. I am crying because I know you. How would you respond to the questions of the angels which they are about to ask you in the grave? And that's what I'm crying for. I don't think you are prepared for that. This is called preparedness for death." And another narration says from the Holy Prophet that the angel of death, yaqifu, it comes on the door of every house at the time of the five time prayers. That means we have five times wajib prayers every day. So the malakul maut, the angel of death, comes and stands at our door, according to the hadith of Holy Prophet, five times daily at the times of the prayers. Is there room for any moment to say, "Hey, I was not informed. I was never told"? Silly arguments. We have been overtold about death. And we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we thank the Holy Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt to inform us about the teachings and information from the unseeable world, which otherwise we had zero access. No matter how much intellectual we may be, but we have no access to the teachings from Alamul Ghaib, which they are the only ones who are informing us, the prophets and the imams. So we find when the people are crying around their beloved person, angel of death says, "You know, why are you guys crying? I didn't come out of my own wish. I came here upon the command of Allah." And when he takes the soul out, of course it's narrated in the hadith, the veins of the person rip apart. Of course not for a mu'min. For a mu'min it's very, very safe and sound. For a disbeliever. And when he sees the angel of death, the disbeliever sees the angel of death, he says, "Well, I did the tawbah. Angel of death replies back to him, "Now you do the tawbah. this is not the time of tawbah. This time the tawbah is not acceptable. And then he would say, Ya hasrata ala ma, Quran informs us, Ya hasrata ala ma farrattu fi jambillah. So he feels sorrowful. He expresses his sorrow and sadness. How did I do this kind of behavior in the presence, in the dargah, in the mehzar, in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That's what our urafa say. How can we do sins when every single thing is watching us with their eyes wide open? We don't see like this again because we have those curtains, but the urafa witness all those existences around us, witnessing us and our amal and actions with their eyes wide open, and there are witnesses on the Day of Judgment against us. Even the birds and the fishes and the animals and the insects. The hadith says if a person commits a sin and there was an animal present at that time, Allah will resurrect that animal on the Day of Judgment. The animal will bear witness against him, and then when the animal will be resurrected, it will do the sajda on the Day of Judgment first. And the angel would say, this is not the time of sajda. That means it's the time of witnessing. In shahadat, bear the witness, that means it's the time of witnessing. In other words, he would say, an animal would reply, I'm doing the sajda to thank Allah, to be grateful towards Allah that he did not make me a human being. And after that remark, the hadith says, the angel, look at the Holy Quran, has already informed us, وَإِذَا الْوُحُوشُ حُشِرَتْ وَإِذَا الْوُحُوشُ حُشِرَتْ. Animals will be resurrected. So the animal will then bear witness against our actions, and then it will be killed. And then the human would say, I wish Allah did not create me a human and made me an animal instead, so that I don't end up with this destiny what I'm about to end up with. So we thank Allah and the Holy Prophet and Ahlul Bayt to inform us in advance so that we get prepared about our death before the angel of death arrives. How Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, talking about that event, says that, oh my Lord, it's actually deeply, we should pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have mercy upon us at the time when the angel of death appears and the curtains are removed and the angel appears. وَصَارَتْ Imam Sajjad alayhi salam said, صَارَتِ الْأَعْمَالُ أَغْلَالًا فِي الْأَعْنَاقِ. All the actions of a human will get converted into chains in his necks. All the actions of humans will get converted into chains in the necks. So, these are not metaphors. Prophet and Ahlul Bayt are not using metaphors. They are people who live in haqa'iq and real world. They are real terms. The actions are chains. All the bad deeds are actually chains on our necks and backs, which we are right now not witnessing. If we have the sins and we are not witnessing that, that's our problem. If there is a person who doesn't have hijabat on his eyes available next to a sinner, he would see literally those chains. And finally, we find that because the angel of death doesn't seek no permission, Hazrat Dawood alayhi salam had a servant in his house. The servant shut the door as usual, and after shutting the door, the servant saw somebody, and the servant was shocked. Who let you in? And the guy replied, I am the person who come without permission. Come to the houses without permission. Prophet Dawood was in another room and he was hearing this conversation. He is a prophet, he understands. He understood that this guy has to be the angel of death. And the narration says that Hazrat Dawood asked the angel of death, why didn't you send some warnings, in other words, for me, you know? Angel of death said, Aina Abuka? Where is your father?
He said, he passed away. Where is your such and such other relative? He passed away. Where is your such and such relative? Whatever, he mentioned different relatives. He just passed away.
So those were my messengers to you,
to be prepared for death.
What else we are going to expect?
There is an announcement being made at five times at the time of the five daily prayers. Our relatives and friends and acquaintances are passing away from this dunya every now and then. What else do we want for a warning bell? What else is going to make us ready and prepared?
So, brothers and sisters, in the tafsir of Imam Askari alayhi salam, before I end my speech, it is narrated that when the time of death of a mu'min arrives, he witnesses the Holy Prophet on his right hand side, and he witnesses Imam Ali alayhi salam on his left hand side, and he witnesses Imam Hassan and Imam Hussain in his front, and he witnesses the rest of the nine Imams surrounding them. And and Angel of Death, of course he sees the Angel of Death also. And the Angel of Death says to the Holy Prophet that, you know, ask him to see his place. In the light of the hadith, we understand that no mu'min passes away from this dunya without looking at his own place in the paradise. And no kafir or munafiq passes away from this dunya without looking at his place in the hellfire. Right here in this dunya, before leaving, he sees it before he departs. Look at the beautiful arrangement of Allah. So, Angel of Death says to the Holy Prophet, ask him to see his place. And Prophet asked him, Prophet is the Commander-in-Chief of the universe. The Commander-in-Chief asked the Mu'min, look up. And he would look up and see his place in the paradise. And Prophet says to the Angel of Death, be easy in taking his soul out. In other words, and Angel of Death replies, Ya Rasulullah, you know, why would I not be easy when people like you are arriving in this, for the ziyarat of this mu'min? The soul of a mu'min is taken out very easily. Actually, in some of the ahadith, in the light of those ahadith, we learn that the Angel of Death comes to a mu'min, a nice, pious, good mu'min. The Angel of Death comes like a slave coming to his master. So, that's how he sees, and of course everybody sees, minimum everybody sees Imam Ali alayhi salam, because that is mentioned in one of the most authentic ahadith, what he said to Haris al-Hamdani, that Ya Haru Hamdan man yamut yarani, whosoever dies he sees me. So seeing Imam Ali alayhi salam is something which everybody, regardless of his faith, a mu'min or a kafir or munafiq, whatever, everybody sees Imam Ali alayhi salam. And we find that Imam Ali alayhi salam has mentioned that the son of Abu Talib, Anas bil maut min at-tifl bi sadi ummihi. We are talking about the preparedness for death. Imam Ali Rasam has said that the son of Abu Talib is more familiar with death than a baby towards the breast of his mother. He's more familiar with death. Death is also haqq, isn't that right? And we say in the Talqeen, Inna al-mawta haqqun, wal-ba'tha haqqun, wal-nushura haqqun, wal-sirata haqqun, wal-tatayura al-kutubi haqqun, and so on and so forth. And we remind the dead person twice before, you know, at the time of his departure. So we say that death is haqq. And Imam Ali al-Islam himself, because the Prophet has said, Imam Ali al-Islam himself is always with haqq, because the Prophet has said that Aliyun ma al-haqq wal haqq ma aliyin yaduru ma'ahu haythu dar. Ali is with haqq and haqq is with Ali, and Huck goes wherever Ali goes. So Mawali Islam is always with Huck.
In some of the narration it says, Allahumma adiril haqqa ma'ahu. Oh my Lord, you rotate the Huck wherever Ali goes. That means you take the Huck wherever Ali goes.
That was the earlier statement, was the Mazmoon Riwayah which I narrated. So a mu'min has to be prepared for death and remember his death all the times, just like Hazrat Ali Akbar alayhi salam was. When Imam Hussein alayhi salam on his way towards Iraq asked his son Ali Akbar about how does he feel about death, he replied to his father that, are we not on Haq? Look at the beautiful response and the perspective of looking at things, the Islamic world view of the things, which is missing in some of our believers. If we have the Islamic world view, all we are supposed to focus on, are we on Haq? If we are on Haq, then we have nothing to worry about. And Imam Hussein al-Salam replied, of course, in other words, that, you know, we are on Haq. And he said, إِذَنْ لَا نُبَالِي بِالْمَوْتِ. Then we don't care about death. So Imam Hussein alayhi salam prayed for his son when he heard that response. According to certain narrations, he said that. And finally, it's not an easy situation, brothers and sisters, to allow a son like Ali Akbar to depart for death. Nobody can understand this situation unless somebody goes through that situation. Nobody has a son like Ali Akbar, for whom Imam Hussein alayhi salam has said that Allahumma shhad ala ha'ula'il qawm. Oh my Lord, be a witness against these people. فَقَدْ بَرَزَ إِلَيْهِمْ غُلَامٌ أَشْبَهُ النَّاسِ خَلْقًا وَخُلْقًا وَمَنْتِقًا بِرَسُولِكَ.
Be a witness against these people, because now that young man is going, who is the most resembling person to your messenger in terms of his appearance, his creation, in terms of his akhlaq and morality, and in terms of his speech.
And that's why my teacher was saying that Hazrat Ali Akbar Islam was a masoom. And this hadith of Imam Hussein is the evidence and burhan for that. Because somebody who is the most resembling can never do a sin. So we believe that Hazrat Ali Akbar was a masoom. He is the most resembling person to Rasulullah. And kunna, then Imam Hussein alayhi salam said, وَكُنَّا إِذَا اشْتَقْنَا إِلَىٰ زِيَارَةِ نَبِيِّكَ نَظَرْنَا إِلَيْهِ.
Whenever we used to be keen to do the ziyarat of your Prophet, we used to look at Ali Akbar. We used to look at him.
He said it once. So, Ali Akbar alayhi salam is the shabih of Rasul.
Imam Hussein alayhi salam had his official muazzin in the caravan, Hajjaj ibn Masruq, present. But on the morning of Ashura, Imam Hussein did not ask Hajjaj ibn Masruq to say the adhan at the time of Fajr. Instead, Ali Akbar was asked to say the adhan. And Ali Akbar said the adhan in the lahja and tone of Rasulullah. So now the amama of the Prophet was put on the head, over the head of Ali Akbar. And now Ali Akbar is departing, finally. And some of the scholars have said that it was a wasiyat and will of Imam Hussein alayhi salam towards Akbar, that whenever, as long as you can, keep on turning your face so that Imam Hussein can do the ziyarat of his son. He's so much resembling to Rasulullah. Imam Hussein wishes to see the face of his son, because one of the reasons is that he is resembling Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we find that after all that, when Ali Akbar left Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he still heard a voice coming from behind. As he turned back, he found that his elderly father, Hussein ibn Ali, is coming behind him. Baba, you were the one, you know, Imam Hussein is the one who just farewelled Ali Akbar. But now Imam Hussein is still coming after him.
You know, it's hard to understand, brothers and sisters, it's hard to understand that situation because no one has a son like Ali Akbar. If we had a son like Ali Akbar who is departing and in that situation, then we would realize, and then Ali Akbar will realize what would happen to the heart of Imam Hussein. He fought his battle and then in the middle he came back again to Imam Hussein, his father, and requested, for if there is a way I can get some water. Ali Akbar was so thirsty, he asked for some water. Of course there is no water available in the hands of Imam Hussein. He showed his tongue to Ali Akbar, and Ali Akbar saw your tongue is even drier than my tongue. Imam Hussein gave him an aqiq and asked him and said to him that soon your grandfather is going to provide, quench your thirst by providing the drink from the fountain of Kausar. Ali Akbar went away, and finally when he did his battle and he came down from the to the ground of Karbala, he fell on the ground and Imam Hussein was about to go towards Ali Akbar. That was the only person probably among all the shuhada, according to the narration of scholars, that Hazrat Zainab was the first person to take herself to Ali Akbar before Imam Hussein reached there. Maybe because Hazrat Zainab knew how much Imam Hussein loves Ali Akbar. In order to console her brother, Hazrat Zainab took herself to Ali Akbar before Imam Hussein. And look at the narration. Sayyid ibn Ta'ooz says that Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he put his forehead, he put his cheek over the cheek of Ali Akbar and said this remark, "Ala dunya ba'daka al-afa." Ali Akbar, tere baad is dunya pe khaak ho. There's nothing remaining in this dunya after you. So we find Ali Akbar had a piece of spear remaining in his chest, which was very much painful and hurting him. And Imam Hussein is now about to take that piece of steel out of the chest of his son. I would like to say to Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, that when you were slaughtering your son upon the command of Allah, you actually tied up a cloth over your eyes, so that you could not see your son. But please come and see in the Maidan of Karbala that Imam Hussein did not tie his eyes with anything, but actually he himself is pulling out that thing from the chest of Ali Akbar. And as soon as he pulled it out, Ali Akbar departed from this world. And before departing, he also said to his father, "Hada jaddi Rasulullah." This is my grandfather, the messenger of Allah. You know, because the Prophet had brought the drink from the fountain of Kausar, like Prophet did for every shaheed. And he's saying, and Ali Akbar said to Imam Hussein, that he's saying to you, "Ajjil al-quduma ilayna." Be quick to come towards us.
على لعنة الله فالقوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون إلهي بحق الصحراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفار والمنافقين اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين نصيم الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه تجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين يا حسين